My brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He's over it all, and in Him we live and move and have our being and exist on this earth, in this paradigm, at such a time as this, for God's purposes, by God's design, for His intention. So you might as well, and we might as well, put our goals, apart from Him, our goals, our ambitions, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, all of those things, we might as well just put them at His feet, lay them down before Him and say, okay, Father, You are in control. You are Lord. You are the one that is above it all. And we're here and we are reporting for duty, sir. What would You have of us this day? Lord, what is Your desire? What is Your intention? What is Your heart? Lord, what is it that You would have for us to do while we're here? Because, you know, so the world, you got to remember that the system that we were born into and surrounded by has been bombarding your mind, your thought process, from the moment you got here. So you have been inundated and, in many cases, brainwashed to a certain way of thinking that is anti-Christ, a certain way of thinking that is against the kingdom. It's not kingdom thinking. You've been brainwashed to think like a worlder. You've been brainwashed to think the way the world thinks, to have the priorities that the world has, to put that. Now, that's been what's been forced upon you from the time that you got here in this life, and it's not going to stop until that entire system is collapsed. But you've been surrounded by that anti-Christ thinking. It's against Christ. It's against the kingdom. So that's why don't go too far with that as far as you know, all these end time things that people are talking about. It's a thinking that is against truth, against God, against that which is the kingdom and how that works. So in order for you to, and the reason that we've also never fit in the world is because we're made of a different sort. We're a different type. We are the children of the living God. We are the sheep. We're not the goats. So we belong to the Father. And so even though the world tries to indoctrinate us into their system and tries to force their thinking upon us, it just never sits right. And it never works right. And, you know, the things of the world have grown strangely dim for the child of God because, you know, that flashy car, sure, it's pretty, but so? You know, that you know, you don't have that need to fly in that private jet. I mean, if it's there, sure, fine, great. But that's not your heart. That's not your desire. That's not where your treasures are stored. Your treasures, your hopes, your desires are with the Father. Store your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, thieves don't break in and steal. So we've been made of a different sort. So, but still there's that attack on the mind. Go all the way back to the garden and realize that the beginning of that attack began on the mind. You know, when the serpent was working Eve, he started with the mind. You know, did God really say? And to take people away from that, the truth, to take them in a way that's anti-Christ, to take them in a way that is anti-God, to take them in a way that is separate from that which would keep you free and be a joy and a peace to you. You know, it is a struggle, because here's the other side of it too, is that when you start to realize that the world is working to program you and to try to put you in a different thought process, at that stage, you know, you're not going to be surrounded by a lot of people that are going to say, yeah, it shouldn't be like that. No, you're going to be surrounded by a lot of people that say, well, what do you do for a living? How do you identify with the world? What's your role in society? How do we either get something out of you, find benefit from you, or relate to you because of your placement in the hierarchy of the world system. And if it's not high enough for us, or if it's not valuable enough for us, we're just going to totally disregard you because you have no merit in and of yourself as far as you as a person and as a flesh and blood living human being with the spirit of the living God inside of you. No, the way that they work is they want to know where are you in the hierarchy. And if you're high enough up, they're going to coddle and do whatever they can to try to get close to you. And if you are low, then, you know, you might as well be a piece of gum on the bottom of their shoe. Now, isn't that funny? Because in the kingdom, you are a brother or sister in Christ. In the kingdom, you meet people that are one of God's, and you're just brothers. You're just sisters. There is, you know, we've been given different roles, just like inside your body. You have, you know, you've got different organs that do different things. You've got different systems that do different functions within the body, but it's all part of the body. Everything is necessary. Everything requires the other part in order for it to function and for it to work well. So in the body, there's a respect. There's a joy. There's a freedom. There's an interaction that is just pleasant and eternal. And the true kingdom people that I know, and I know, you know, I know a good chunk of them at this stage because I've lived for a bit. I've traveled for a while. I've met some amazing people as I've continued to go on in this life. So they're out there, and I've always had that interaction with them. Right away, it feels like we've known each other forever. You know, 5 minutes, and just it's you just shift into that eternal sense of this is your brother, this is your sister, this is one of God's, and it's beautiful. You don't drain each other, by the way. Spiritually, there's not a drain. There's just a pouring out and a lifting up of each other. There's not a vested interest in the outcome. And the worlders always have a vested interest in the outcome. The worlders will always, there's always a game, an agenda, and, you know, something they're trying to work towards, something they're trying to get around you. You know, I was explaining this to somebody recently about in Sri Lanka. There's a little statement they have over there when they talk about getting around someone. And what that means is when they know that somebody wouldn't, you know, if they ask them to do something, that they probably would say no. So what they want to do is they want to get around that person, which means, you know, they want to find some way to manipulate or to work that person over or to set up the circumstances so that they can get their end result or get that person to say yes or force their hand or whatever, or just manipulate them or just, you know, soften them up. But if the whole thing is to get their agenda, so they want to get around a person, that's the way the world is, not the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's you don't have a vested interest in the outcome. So when you do things, you do them as unto the Lord. When you have a conversation with somebody, when you seek counsel from one another, you don't, you genuinely care about the best interest of that other person. And it's not about you getting something or working something. It's, so we live differently. The kingdom people live differently. You know, I know when you guys, a bunch of you guys that tune in here, part of why you tune in, there's a number of reasons why different people tune in, but part of why some of you guys tune in here is because this is what God has to come through, is also quickening kingdom thinking in your life, in your minds, in your spirits, so that you can now draw a contrast between how the kingdom works and what you're surrounded by. And then you can make a decision. So choose ye this day whom ye will serve. There's a reason that that's been on our homepage, our landing page for since we started this whole thing with Faith Mix. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You can make that choice. You can make that decision. The issue is though in the world is that in the world, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So right now, what you're seeing, the events taking place in the world, is there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Book of Proverbs, chapter 14, chapter 16. So right now, you're seeing death in a very real sense. And that death is a natural manifestation of a spiritual reality, in that when people go the way of the world, things die. When all the way back to the garden again, since we're talking about that one a little bit today, from the moment that they went the way of the enemy, death came into the human experience. And right away, something died. Right away, even though the physical death didn't happen for, you know, almost 1,000 years, but that spirit was bound, was dead. That optimal experience of life, of what it could and should be, was gone. That had died. What did Jesus come to do? Well, he came to destroy the works of the devil, and he came that they might have what? Life! And have it more abundantly. So Jesus came so that you and I might have life, so that we could be restored, so that we could what? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, so we could hear his voice once again. That connection is reestablished, that door is open, the gate is open, and you and I can go in and out and find pasture. We can feed. And there is no lack in him. There is no scarcity in him. There's no zero-sum game with the living God. No, there's an overflowing abundance. Just look up at the stars, look up at the universe, look up at all that's out there. And you realize that, you know, the way the world works, it's just limitation. The way the world system works is just a prison that they've all put themselves in, and guarding each other and keeping each other there. Whereas the kingdom of God, we just look up. God told Abraham, look up and look at the stars. If you could number the stars, you'd be able to number your descendants. There's abundance and there's an overflow. And God says that to a man who's, in the physical sense, as good as dead. He's, you know, he's past the age of being able to have kids. He's past the age of a lot of these things supposedly being able to happen. And God made him the father of the faith. He made him the one who would be the patriarch. And kings were born from him. Nations were birthed out of him. See, here's the thing. When God makes you a promise, the reason that he also speaks and he puts his word out there is because everything in the natural would look like it's contrary to that. Isn't that interesting? Because, yeah, if you were like, oh, yeah, I could see that, then he might not have had to tell you. But when the situation seems impossible, and then God speaks into that situation and says, well, here's what I'm going to do about it. A lot of times it's because you need to hear that word from God, because there's no other way that that could become a possibility if he does not intervene in the first place. So it's necessary for him to intervene. So he tells you that so that you can have that sure word that comes from the living God, so that you know what he has said, and then it can come to pass. Think about Joseph's life and what God had spoken to him early on, and then the test that would come along the way to take away that word, to take away that promise of God. But that was his experience, and he suffered. But in that process of suffering and in that process of going through, eventually he would come to the place where that word would be proven true in his own life and in his own experience while he was in the earth. And, you know, there's things that God has spoken to me that, you know, they're there. They're registered. They're on the, they're in the back of my mind. They're written down in different places. But, you know, you've got to, for me, I know it's there. So, okay. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me some things that might seemingly be impossible in the natural, but I know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything that I can ask or think, so I'm going to look to you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to make myself available for whatever part and whatever role that you would have for me to play as your spirit flows through me while you do your will in the earth. And I thank you for the chance to be a part of it and to experience it. You know, that dream that I had about that wave of light I mean, that was some time back, my friends. That was a while back. I mean, I have to go back and actually look, because, you know, when I actually had it. But I wasn't, you know, this was, I mean, golly, I was probably 20 years old. I mean, that's a while ago, all right? And, you know, but, man, that thing was with me. And these things that God has shown over the years, it's like, okay, all right. Now, those are, for me, I mean, it's something that God is doing. I'm just grateful to be a part. And I'm also grateful that God lets us know so that we can also know how we are to relate to it. See, that's an important piece. You've got to understand that when something is going on in the world, and you're here by God's design, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And so there's something important that you need to understand. You need to know how to relate to your circumstances and your situations around you, because you're a kingdom person surrounded by an enemy system, and you need to know how to relate to that system, how to relate to your time in the earth where the wheat and the tares grow together. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to be very confused and it's going to be difficult. Listen, you're already attacked, all right? You already go out and about and you get shot at. And sometimes in the natural, a lot of times in the realm of the spirit, you feel that oppression, you feel that that intention of the enemy against you and towards you, all of that's there, yes. You know, so you need to know how to relate. You need to know how you go through this life and how you create and what are you supposed to do while you're here? Where are you supposed to put your time and your energy and your labor? How are you supposed to pray? You know, what is your focus while you're here? These are important things to understand. And listen, and you're not going to get it from the world, so why do you keep looking for that? Why do you keep looking for an answer from a blind guide? The blind leading the blind. What did Jesus say about that? If the blind lead the blind, they're going to end up in a ditch. There's a lot of people that are being led around by blind guides. Listen, I appreciate the things that are going on right now in the shakeup that's taking place inside the U.S. political system, for example. But I'm not looking for a man to come in and save the day, no. Or a woman or whatever. I'm not looking for that. That's not going to happen. You have one Savior who is Christ. And God has an instruction for anyone that would be a ruler. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in his wrath. Listen, for the rulers of the rulers in the natural, the people that are in those positions, just like Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no authority unless it was given to you by God in the first place. So you've got that position. So, all right, be mindful, because once this whole thing's done here, and this window of time is done in the earth, those guys are going to have to give an account of everything to God as their entire lives are replayed on a big screen for the entire universe to see. And nothing will be deleted and nothing will be hidden and nothing. And there's no deal that you can strike. There's no either. And at that stage, either you belong to him, either you belong to the living God, or you do not. So, you know, just know that. Just know that. You know, you can fight and you can shoot and you can do all the rest of this stuff, but just know that that is going to be the reality of the experience that you're going to have while you're here in the earth, period. Your time here in the earth is going to be brought to account for all eternity. And if you think anything other than that, you are delusional. Because the reality and the truth is that appointed unto every man is a time to die. And after that, the judgment. Yes, we will be judged. And we will be judged by a righteous judge. We will be judged by a judge that cannot be bought off or cannot be strong-armed or cannot be, he can't be manipulated. And there's a justice with him. And the only way out is Jesus. And not this, oh, okay, American Express type of Jesus that they just want to stamp this, put this stamp on there and just swipe it like a credit card. No, you have to be under his lordship. You have to be consummated with him. There can't be any separation between you and the Father. The prayer of Jesus was that they would be one in us. Even as I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that they may be one in us, that you would be the living extension of the kingdom of God here in the earth, ambassadors of the living God. That's the way it's supposed to be, my brothers and sisters. You are supposed to be his representatives in the earth. And if he doesn't know you, and that knowing in Matthew 7 it's a consummation, if you are not consummated with the Spirit of the living God, if you are not engrafted into the vine as John 15 talks about, if you are not like the wind going to and fro as the Spirit of God would lead you, then you should check yourself. Because there is a form of godliness that's out there in the world that denies the power thereof. There is an illusion and a delusion that a lot of people live with. What is the first thing that Jesus said in Matthew 24 when he was asked what would be the sign of the end of the age and of his coming and all of that kind of stuff, the coming of the kingdom of God, all these different things? He said, first thing he said to them is, be not deceived, for many will come in my name. So many are going to pop up and say, I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah, I'm your solution. Basically, here, I'm going to be a man standing between you and God. No, you need God. You need the truth. You need to go direct. And with Jesus, his warning, take that warning to heart. Be not deceived. Well, the heart can deceive you. The flesh can deceive you. The world is all out to deceive you. All of that stuff is there. So how can you be not deceived? Well, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. So you can start there. You can start by asking God and say, Lord God, how can any man survive the onslaught of this place without you? Father, how can any man or any woman survive this place without your leading, without your guiding, without your quickening? So you told me, Lord Jesus, to be not deceived, but you are the way and the truth and the life. So Lord God, I don't want to be deceived, so show me the truth. Show me the life. Show me the way to live, and I will live in it. Strengthen me by your Spirit so that I can do what I can't do in my flesh, what I can't do in myself apart from you. Strengthen me to do what you want me to do in Jesus' name. That's the way that you go through this. You ask God to reveal, and when you know what the deception is, don't ever fall for it. Don't humor it. Keep moving then. Keep moving. You see, the way that the world is working is it's shifting into overdrive because it's losing it right now. People are as everything that can be shaken is being shaken, and it's losing its grip. It's getting desperate, and as it's getting desperate, you're just seeing more and more cracks in what was a very effective soul harvesting machine. And now as more and more cracks are coming through, as more and more light is coming through, as the vision, the dream that was given is becoming and coming to fruition, which I never understood, you know, early on what that was all about. Now, as I'm starting to see the manifestations of it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, hindsight's 20/20 on so much of this stuff. Looking back, you're like, oh, of course. You know, sometimes it's very unfair to read the scriptures and to gloss over 13, 14 years of a person's life in a couple of pages, in a couple of chapters. Joseph being sold into slavery at 17 and being in the heart of the dungeon in Egypt at 30. Do you think he didn't have some questions that came into his head over those 13 years that are a quick cup of coffee for you in the morning while you're reading your scriptures? Do you think he didn't have some questions go through his head? Some doubts, some places where he was wondering what in the world is going on, but still I'm going to trust God. Wondering what that was all about. Do you think, if nothing else, even if within, that he was solid in that, that the enemy didn't try to bring thoughts against his minds from the outside? See, that's a big part of what witchcraft is, by the way, is to bring something to you from the outside, to manipulate your thinking, to get you to think and then to act in another way and take you away from God. So that is how Antichrist works. That is how the world works. So, you know, back to the garden, chapter 3 in Genesis. Did God really say, so here comes the thought from the outside. You have kingdom thinking there, and now here it comes. And now it's going to go in, and it's going to now come up against that truth that's within you. And if it can find a place, if the soul, if just like the sower sows the seed, the seed is the word, right? Well, the enemy sows what? The weeds. And the weeds are looking for a place to germinate as well. They're looking for ground to grow in as well. They're looking for that secret hidden place inside of you that's not been given over to God, where they can go between those cracks in your heart, and they can just kind of wedge in there and start to grow up. Start to bring in that doubt within you. That doubt within your spirit, within your soul. That doubt, did God really say? Did he really say? Is he really going to take care of me? I know he's promised in Matthew chapter 6 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he's going to take care of my needs. But did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Is he really going to do it? I need to try to save myself, right? Yeah, I can hear a pin drop. See, the enemy works to do that. Listen, the light is coming in. And so what that means is that the enemy is going to scramble with all of the weapons that he can get and everything that he can muster. And he's going to just turn it on full blast. And I think we've been feeling the effects of a lot of those things too. As the enemy's cracking up, he's also pulling out all the stops. Now, for you, my brothers and sisters, surrender every part of yourself to that light. Surrender your mind and your thinking. Let Scripture say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. All right, so pray for it. Ask for it. Lord God, let me have your mind. Let me have that spirit. Let that spirit of boldness and strength, the spirit that quickened Christ Jesus and raising him from the dead, let that spirit have full reign over me. Control my thinking, Lord God. Show me where, don't let me be deceived. You said don't be deceived, so don't let me be deceived. And Lord God, expose the lies. Let me see things for what they are. If I'm off in any way, in any shape, in any form, Lord God, please correct me. And I give myself over to you for your correction, because I don't want to go another way. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be tricked. I don't want to fall for some stupid thing that the enemy might be doing. Because I know that the enemy is only trying to deceive and trying to take me in another way. And ask for that. Now, in the process of doing that, God's going to give you some instructions. He's going to have some things for you to do. And these things that he's going to have for you to do are just a manifestation in the natural of your spiritual walk. So for somebody, he may say, just like he does with us, oh, I want you to speak, and I want you to publish, and I want you to put it online. Okay. For somebody else, he may say, look, I want you to go to that park, and I want you to sit down on the bench, and I want you to talk to the person that's next to you. Okay. Somebody else, he may say, listen, I just want you to spend the day in prayer. Okay. Somebody else, he may say, look, I want you to get on a plane and go fly over to Africa and do this. Okay. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Because your life is His, and you belong to Him, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And as He leads you and guides you, the experiences that you have in this life are also going to be part of that. The assignments that He gives you are also going to be part of the work necessary in the earth at such a time as this. Now, ultimately, He's the one. His will is going to be done. But you get the chance to be a part of that. You get the chance to experience that. You get the chance to be God's hands in the earth. You get the chance to be part of that fulfillment of the reason that Jesus Christ was manifest, which was to destroy the works of the devil. God is destroying the works of the devil through you. Through your existence. Through, listen, today, you know, turning on this recorder, I did not feel like doing it today. Did not. Didn't want it. I just, in my flesh, in my natural state, you know, I did not feel like doing this. But also the Spirit of God nudging within me, I'm like, all right, okay, all right, let's do it. You know, I struggle with this too. I struggle with all of these things. And yet, I know the one that's leading us. I know the one that's guiding us. And where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life but Him? Who else are we going to go to? Who else is going to watch over us, care for us, protect us, lead us, guide us, give our lives purpose and meaning? And who else is going to welcome us into an eternity that is beyond anything that we could ever imagine or think? Beautiful, glorious, incredible. Where else? No one. No one else has that. I don't want to miss what God is doing. Not just the eternal side of it. I don't want to miss what God's doing right now. I don't want to miss the reason for which God put us in the earth in the first place. Listen, brothers and sisters, you're here right now for a reason. You're here right now for a purpose. You're here right now because God has for you to be here in this window. I mean, my gosh. What a time to be alive. What a time to be one of God's. What a time to be able to speak the things of God, to be able to be a light, to be able to be engaged in the things that are going on in the earth. This is incredible. To be here now? Seriously? I mean, wow. And you get, and you are in the, I mean, talk about the Olympics. You know, the Olympics is nothing on the stage that you are on right now. The things that are going on, the odds that are stacked against, and yet the children of God overcome and triumph and manifest some incredible things in the earth as God is working in and through them. I do know that before we came here, you know, this is God's design for us to be here. Right now, in this window. So don't miss that. Because see, one thing the enemy wants to do is if he can't get you to come over to his side, he wants to neutralize you and keep you from ever moving forward in the things of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's going to send demonic spiritual forces against you to keep you from moving forward. He's going to send things against you to keep you from actualizing anything that God intends for you. He's going to work hard to try to keep you from being what God made you to be. That's going to be the assignments that are sent. So knowing that, just don't fall for it. I know that's easier said than done, speaking from experience, but don't fall for it. If you feel it, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling oppressed, if you're feeling that weight on your spirit, you know that it comes from outside. So sometimes you may just have to stop and you got to pray. Sometimes you got to worship God. Sometimes you just got to fight through it. Sometimes you just got to let that thing just wash over and just hunker down for a little bit through that storm. Whatever it is, God will show you and He's going to be with you. But you know the one that you believed and you continue to keep your eyes on Jesus in the middle of the storm because He's going to lead you out. He's going to show you the way through. He's going to be the one that speaks to you in the storm and says, get out of that boat and walk. And you're going to do the miraculous while anything else would drown and anything else would fall down in that water. But you keep your eyes on Christ and you are going to walk through whatever tribulations are going on around you. I know there's a lot going on around us externally right now, and that is part of the times that we're living in. That's definitely part of the situation that you're in, but you have to keep your eyes on Christ. You can't allow these things to become distractions because that's when you sink. That's when you sink. Obviously, when Peter was on the water, he knew there was a storm going on, but that didn't have his attention at the start. That didn't have his attention while he was living in the miraculous. He knew the context that he was in, but his eyes were on Christ. He was listening for the voice of Jesus. It was the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus that he started to sink. The moment that you take your eyes off of Christ, that's when you're going to sink. If you don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that, you know, so many different places in the scriptures, that is the instruction, that is the way to live. But when you don't go that way, what happens? You start to sink. When you stray from the word, what happens? You get in trouble. Okay, simple proverb. The borrower is servant to the lender. Yeah, we know this. It's in the scriptures. And yet, what does the world do? And what does the world system do? Works very hard to get you indebted right away. Works very hard to keep... You know, when I was in college, when I was doing my undergrad, guys hanging out on campus offering you, hey, sign up for this credit card. We'll give you bag M&Ms. We'll give you this t-shirt. We'll give you this baseball cap. Whatever it is. $600 limit and a terrible, terrible interest rate. Gosh, it was awful. You know, seriously, just a trap to get you locked in. And, you know, all of these things, you know, instead of, there's a way to live. There's a way to exist while you're here in the earth. And kingdom thinking is going to produce kingdom results. Worldly thinking is going to produce worldly results. That's why you want to allow your thinking to be shifted. You want to allow your thinking to be changed. And you need to allow the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you. You have your scriptures for a reason, because they're a great owner's manual for your life, so you know how to drive the car. So you don't put diesel into a gas engine. And you don't try to run, you don't try to fill your oil with sugar. You might get energy off of sugar, but it's bad for your car. God's going to show you. Scriptures are there for these reasons. So read them. They're going to feed you. And ask the Spirit of God to open up your mind and your heart. Now, obviously, everybody's made mistakes. Everybody's done things that, you know, haven't been the best. But that's the case. All right, fine. But then even with that, ask God. Lord God, all right, this is where I'm at. Show me one perfect apostle that Jesus picked. All right? No, nobody. Everybody has their flaws. So, you know, whatever your situation, listen, just take that and bring it before God and put it before Him. But say, Lord, I need to see the way to live, to walk out my life and my time here in the earth with You. So show me. And He'll do that. He'll instruct you. And when He starts instructing you, then you got to go with it. Because those are going to be things that lead you in a way of life. You know, I mean, I remember when I was working at a pretty high level overseas, you know, and when God said, and you guys, you've been around, if you listen to the broadcast, wouldn't have gone through that. But when God said, all right, time to keep going, had to do it. So let that go. Not knowing where I would go next. Not knowing necessarily what I would do next. Okay, it's fine. But that's what you do. And would I trade it? Not for anything in the world. Did I lose? No. I mean, sure, I lost a salary. But my gosh, what an amazing adventure. What an amazing set of experiences. Think of all the people that I've met, all the new things that have been allowed to do. just everything. I can't even imagine. You've got to trust God. And you know, the other day too, even when I was thinking about some of this stuff and I was praying about it, and one thing that God just put before me, he said, listen, and that scripture came back to me that Jesus had spoken to the apostles when he sent them out two by two and they came back. He said, you know, did you ever lack for anything? And they're like, no, Lord, never. And God asked me that the other day. Did you ever lack for anything? And no, I haven't. It's incredible. I haven't. I have had an abundance of and an incredible life experience since I left a job as a CEO. And it's just been miraculous. So, would I trade that? No. He's been true to his word. So why not continue to go forward with him? Look back on your own life. Every time that you have allowed God to lead you and guide you, has he not been true to his promises? So then realize too how when the enemy has brought those thoughts into your mind and worked to take you off course, how that has been the source of your pain. That has been the source of bad decision making and bad choices. Just be straight about it. Be honest about it. Just bring it into the light. It's okay. You know, just take that momentary ouch. Ow. Okay. All right. And then move on from there. Because there's a whole incredible adventure waiting for you. But you got to go with him. You got to go with Jesus. You got to go with the kingdom. You have to go with the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you have to go with the way that he spelled it out for how you live your life while you're in the earth. The world has got zero for you. Have you seen how bad these guys are doing right now? Everything in the world is falling apart. And like we've said before, it's just getting started. Now you, my brother, you, my sister, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I don't give you like the world gives. So peace is what God has given unto us. And so you have the peace of the living God. So you need to live in it. You need to move in it. You need to allow that to be your life and your experience and your choice and your decision and the way that you relate to your time in the earth. And know that the world is going to try to take that away from you. And so that's why you have to guard your heart above all things. For out of it comes the issues of life. Amen. Scriptures have talked about this. It's in there. You can't just... There's some stewardship required. Listen, I'm not going to give you a bunch of rules. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say is, read the Word and God's going to quicken you if you allow Him to. Ask the Spirit of God and He's going to quicken you. And it's going to be exactly what you need. So listen to Him. I don't know where you're at. He knows where you're at. So he knowing where you're at, he will lead and guide you. And that way is going to be exactly custom made for where you need to be and where you need to go with him. The people that try to bring a yoke of slavery and a bondage around you just like they did in the book of Galatians, it's because they want to enslave you. They don't want you to get out. They don't want you to be free. I have now lived long enough to know the game. And I've lived long enough by the grace of the living God to know that I don't want to play their game. And I don't want to be part of their game nor their system. Lord help me. So, that being the case, thank you. But I will go with Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Now I want Jesus. I don't want what the world has. I want the truth. I want the way. I want the life. And if that means that I check out of this life in the next 20 minutes, or if that means I live for another 100 years, doesn't matter. Because I want him. And you want him. And that is the journey that we're on, is following him. Following the voice of the Spirit of the living God. And we will never follow another. And with that, just know that he's with us and he's leading us and guiding us. And we love you guys. All right? So don't worry about anything. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. God bless you guys. Hey, be encouraged, all right?